From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Wednesday, December 18th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. What do you say we get things officially started with
the Daily Datagram?
Yep, words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, if you can't dance, don't blame the dance floor. There you go, our little dose of philosophy for the day today. If you can't dance, what are you even doing on the dance floor in the first place?
Don't look now, but there's one man too many in this room, and I think it's you.
Let's move on over here to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast. Here we go.
Twisted history.
Oh, boy.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
I know.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Big stuff.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
To be sure.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah. Yeah, that part's not so sure. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1917. The resolution containing the language of the 18th Amendment to enact prohibition was passed by the United States Congress. And believe me, you don't want to hear the language from the opposition. Shortly thereafter, there was a sudden uptick in the sales of bathtubs. And it was on this day in 1957, the world's first full-scale nuclear power plant for peacetime use only began to generate electricity at the Shippingport Atomic Power Station in Pennsylvania. And while the original facility was decommissioned in 1989, a new facility on the same site continues to generate electricity this very day, with no reports of people glowing in the dark.
Staggers the imagination.
I don't imagine very many people are going to be shocked at this, but Judge Mershon rejected Donald Trump's immunity arguments to get the guilty verdict thrown out. Kind of knew this would happen, right? So the official New York case against Donald Trump is ongoing. Here's the way the Epoch Times reported it. They said New York Supreme Court Justice Juan Mershon rejected a long list of immunity-related arguments on December 16th that President-elect Donald Trump made in an attempt to throw out the guilty verdict that he received earlier this year. Trump had argued that Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's office improperly used certain evidence, including former White House advisors' testimonies, since it contained material covered by presidential immunity. His arguments stem from the U.S. Supreme Court's decision this year in Trump v. United States, which held that presidents enjoy different levels of immunity from criminal prosecution for official conduct. Trump also said that because sitting presidents enjoy immunity from criminal prosecution, Mershon should dismiss the case. Well, naturally, Donald Trump blasted the decision. We also expected that. And he said, in a completely illegal, psychotic order, the deeply conflicted, corrupt, biased, and incompetent acting Judge Juan Mershon has completely disrespected the United States Supreme Court and its historic decision on immunity. Now, I don't have a law degree, but I would expect this kind of a response from Donald Trump. And is he justified in this kind of a response? I don't know. Probably so. I mean, clearly there's a certain contingent in the legal community who hate Donald Trump and would do anything to see him fall. So let's go over to Truth Social, Donald Trump's own social media outlet. It says here, breaking in a completely illegal psychotic order, the deeply conflicted, corrupt, biased, and incompetent acting Judge Juan Mershon has completely disrespected the United States Supreme Court and its historic decision on immunity. But even without immunity, this illegitimate case is nothing but a rigged hoax. Mershon, who is a radical partisan, okay, there you so he's hit on a fact here that I think could be key to whether or not Mershon is stable or not, okay? says here, Mershon, who is a radical partisan, and that part's true, wrote an opinion that's knowingly unlawful, goes against our Constitution, and if allowed to stand, would be the end of the presidency as we know it. Mershon has so little respect for the Constitution that he's keeping in place an illegal gag order on me, your president, and president-elect, just so I can't expose his and his family's disqualifying and legal conflicts. I'm the only political opponent in American history not allowed to defend myself. A despicable First Amendment violation. Mershon took the Manhattan DA's witch hunt that, according to all legal scholars, including Jonathan Turley, Ellie Honig, Andy McCarthy, Alan Dershowitz, Greg Jarrett, David Rivkin, Elizabeth Price Foley, Katie and Andy Tricaski, Paul Ingresia, and many others, is a non-existent case barred by the statute of limitations and should have never been brought, and through his fraud and misconduct gave it a semblance of life. While deranged Jack Smith was sent packing back to The Hague after losing all of his politically manufactured cases against me, Mershon, who is far worse and even more corrupt than Smith in his fight for my hopeless political opponents, just can't let go of his charade. Is it because of his conflicts and relations that he keeps breaking the law? This has to stop. It's time to end the lawfare once and for all so we can come together as one nation and make America great again. You know, it's, again, I don't have a law degree. But I think here, in this particular instance, this clearly is a case of lawfare. This guy, Mershon, is trying to make a name for himself by preventing Donald Trump from taking the White House. He's not going to be able to do it. And when Trump brought up all those names, all those legal experts, I didn't realize that many that many legal experts. And these are all, I don't know all of them, but I mean, come on, Greg Jarrett, you know him. He's from the Fox News Channel. He's one of the best legal experts you're going to find anywhere. And then two that I know of to be absolutely the best when it comes to expert law, expert knowledge of the law, and particularly the Constitution, both Jonathan Turley and Alan Dershowitz. I mean, these two guys, come on. And they never supported Judge Mershon's opinions in this particular case. So, yeah, I guess the prosecution of Donald Trump will continue, but for how much longer and at what cost? Well, here we go again. Yeah, we have a server at a popular Capitol Hill eatery who was terminated for refusing to serve members of the incoming Trump administration. At least this much of the story has changed since Donald Trump's first term, and that is this particular server was fired. During his first term, the server would have been held in place and the Trump officials would have been forced out of the restaurant. So this is going to be interesting to see how it manifests itself here in the forthcoming term. But a gal by the name of Susanna Van Rooy, a waitress at Boyshirt's Saloon, which is apparently a well-regarded farm-to-table establishment, and she was fired shortly after publicly stating she would refuse service to Trump officials. Now, her comments were part of a Washington Magazine feature exploring how the restaurant industry might respond to the arrival of President-elect Donald Trump's team in a deeply divided Washington. Washington. What a cesspool. What an historic place, but what a cesspool. Well, while most of the participants in this particular article chose to remain anonymous, naturally, because they're all a bunch of damn cowards, Van Rooy opted to speak out on record using her real name. So let's go to the magazine here, and let me read from that. It says, following Trump's re-election, discussion suggests that Trump's resistance may be waning. Susanna Van Rooy, a server and manager at Boyshirt Saloon in Capitol Hill, noted, people were a lot more motivated the first time around to do those kinds of shows of passion. This time around, there's kind of a sense of defeat and acceptance. But I hope that people still do stand up to this administration and tell them their thoughts on their misbehavior.
Misbehavior?
I don't know. Anyhow, it continues. I personally would refuse to serve any person in office who I know of as being a sex trafficker or trying to deport millions of people. She clarified her stance, saying, it's not, oh, we hate Republicans. It's that this person has moral convictions that are strongly opposed to mine, and I don't feel comfortable serving them.
Well, obviously, this is a very misinformed lady because it's not our side that's been doing the sex trafficking. So, anyhow, following the publication of her comments, she was dismissed from her position at Boyshirt Saloon. And the restaurant explained its decision in an Instagram post stating that her remarks, quote, clearly violate our zero tolerance policy on discrimination and that they do not reflect the positions of over 20 other people who make up our staff. Can't get much clearer than that. So the statement continued. None of us saw this coming and regret deeply that the voices of over 24 people who work at Boyshirt Saloon are being silenced because of one person's awful behavior. We beg you all not to condemn the group of hardworking folks who've made Boyshirt Saloon a neighborhood mainstay for over a dozen years. We're still the same restaurant known for its warm service and friendly staff and hope you will all visit us soon. We look forward to serving you, all of you. Well, you know, I would go. I mean, they fired the gal. You remember what happened to the Red Hen restaurant when they kicked Sarah Huckabee Sanders' family out that one time? Try to remember what town that was in. Was that across the river over in Alexandria? Anyhow, there's this little place called the Red Hen restaurant. It had Left Wing written all over it. I mean, just by its decor and its menu. But they were nice people when they went in there, the Sanders family, and they were kicked out. They were told by the owner of the Red Hen, well, we don't want you in here. Scram, beat it. Get out. So the Sanders family went across the street to another restaurant where they had no trouble at all. They went in and dined. But eventually, and it didn't take long either, eventually the Red Hen had to close up shop. People stopped going there. You know, these politically passionate people on the left just have absolutely no restraint whatsoever. And they act very immaturely. They have really the mentality of an adolescent. Now, a Fox News review of Van Roy's LinkedIn page, which was available on Friday, but has since been removed, revealed that she was responsible for daily operations, crafting messaging strategies, cultivating relationships with influencers, and overseeing events for political figures and VIPs at Boyshirt's Saloon. Additionally, her profile mentioned her role as an organizer for Texas Democrat Beto O'Rourke's unsuccessful 22 gubernatorial campaign. Beto O'Rourke, where is he today? He's on the ash heap of history, where he belongs. So Boyshirt Saloon responded to her comments by dismissing her, describing her remarks to Fox News as reprehensible and in violation of their zero-tolerance policy on discrimination. And that's a very important point to make right there. The establishment clarified that Van Roy was employed as a part-time server, not a manager, and had issued statements on social media condemning her comments after becoming aware of them on Thursday. So, yeah, it's going to be real interesting once Donald Trump retakes the White House. It'll be interesting to see how various sectors of business and society react to Donald Trump at the White House. Now, I think the reaction is going to be different this time. It's going to be way more supportive. I mean, the man clearly won by a landslide. He won by a much larger margin than he won back in 2016. The sentiment these days in this country and over in Europe clearly sides with Donald Trump. But these radical lefties, you cannot reason with them. You just can't. And that makes things tough on the people who have to work with them or live with them. It's something we have to be as compassionate as we possibly can. I mean, is there a chance that you can convert them? No. That process only comes within. I mean, look at how many people during the last 4 years have come forward and just, especially the walk away program. Look at how many people on YouTube, for instance, under hashtag walk away, have gone over to our side. And I'm using that term, our side, kind of facetiously. I hate to see our country divided up by sides, but that's a cold, hard reality. That's something you can't change. And look at all the hundreds of people. And these are just the ones who came forward publicly. I mean, never mind how many have come over to our side privately. But look at all the people on YouTube under hashtag walkaway who've come over to the Republican Party, at least for now. Because once they got involved in politics, and once they saw what the Biden administration was really up to, and once they had to live under this Biden administration, they realized that they were just wrong, and they weren't too proud to admit it publicly. House Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Michael McCaul said yesterday that he believes that some unidentified drones spotted above New Jersey and New York are spy drones from China, after Biden administration officials insisted that many of the aircraft are innocent commercial aircraft. Now, let's go on the record here by saying that Chinese balloon that managed to make its way from the American Northwest all the way over to the East Coast did so with a complete denial of the Biden administration. Remember, the Biden administration said that whole time that balloon was up there. Oh, it's nothing to worry about. It's probably just a weather balloon. No big deal. Don't pay attention to it. Only to find out that it was indeed Chinese and it was a spy balloon. So, McCaul told reporters before the executive branch officials offered a classified briefing to members of the House Intelligence Committee, quote, "We want answers, but the response I'm getting is, we don't know whose drones these are. I was with the NASA administrator, Bill Nelson. He said that these drones have been reported over military sites, military bases. I would not think those are friendly. I would think those are adversarial." And McCaul has a good point there. I don't know if you knew this, but the other day, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base had to be shut down. It's right outside Dayton, Ohio. So, you know, these sightings are not, as we originally believed, just confined to that tri-state area up there in the Northeast. So McCaul says we need to identify who's behind these drones. My judgment, based on my experience, is that those that are over our military sites are adversarial and most likely are coming from the People's Republic of China. I believe they're spy drones, and the PRC and Communist China is very good at this stuff. We know they bought land around military bases. This would be very consistent with their policy over the past couple of years. Again, great point. I mean, how long have we been talking about the Chinese Communist Party buying land, farmland, near military bases? It's happened here in Texas. It's happened in Ohio. It's happened in Minnesota. So McCaul says, we're not getting answers, and I think it's because our government doesn't know who's behind them, and that's very disturbing to me. They seem to think that most of them are American-based commercial. It's the ones over the military bases that I can't explain, and they can't either. Now, the drones have stoked a lot of public concern and speculation, and it is being ignored and denied by our government. Unidentified aircraft have been reported this month above New Jersey's Picatinny Arsenal. We've mentioned that several times already. And the state's Naval Weapons Station, Earl. And last Sunday, forced the temporary closure of Stewart International Airport in New York near Poughkeepsie. Now, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who has never told the truth in his entire life, has said that Many of the drones are commercial or are actually fixed-wing aircraft. While the White House has said it doesn't know what accounts for the apparent surge in sightings. Now, the FBI, the FAA, Pentagon, and Department of Homeland Security all said in a joint statement Monday that there was little reason for concern. Go about your lives, citizens. Nothing to see here. And the agencies in this little note said, we assess that the sightings to date include a combination of lawful commercial drones, hobbyist drones, and law enforcement drones, as well as manned fixed-wing aircraft, helicopters, and STARS mistakenly reported as drones. And I'm sorry, but I've got to call BS on this. Why is it that all of a sudden, starting on November 18th, we have these sightings, and they have continued ever since, and nobody knows what they are or where they came from? BS. And then, of course, you know, last week we had John Kirby come forward claiming that authorities, quote, have not been able to, and neither have state and local law enforcement agencies, corroborate any of the reported visual sightings. Now, Trump Monday accused Biden and his subordinates of a cover-up and said that he doesn't believe that they're the work of a hostile foreign power. God help him if it does, if it turns out that they are from a hostile foreign power, then Donald Trump's going to have a field day. But Trump said, look, our military knows where they took off from. It's a garage. If it's a garage, they can go right to that garage. They know where it came from and where it went. And for some reason, they don't want to comment. And, he also says, and I think they would be better off saying what it is. Our military knows and our president knows, and for some reason, they want to keep people in suspense. I can't imagine it's the enemy, because if it was the enemy, they'd blast it out. Even if they were late, they'd blast it. Something strange is going on. For some reason, they don't want to tell the people, and they should. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, representatives for the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, whose members on Tuesday received a closed-door briefing from the FBI, CIA, and Office of the Director of National Intelligence on the drone sightings, didn't respond to a request for comment. So they are going to remain mum, and people like you and I are going to remain concerned, and things just won't change until something drastic happens. And God help us if that something drastic is against us, say in the form of a 9/11 type attack, the U.S. government will never be trusted again. AOC flopped in her bid to helm the powerful House Oversight Committee. She lost to Representative Jerry Connolly. Now, AOC is 35, Connolly's 74. And, Connolly is already foreshadowing political trench warfare against the GOP. I think these people over on the left ought to proceed a little more carefully this time, because Donald Trump is re-entering the White House with a hell of a lot more experience. But anyhow, Connolly, who's a Democrat out of Virginia, won the spot in a House Democratic caucus vote yesterday. And this is one day after notching the support from the Democratic Steering and Policy Committee. AOC said, tried my best. Sorry I couldn't pull it through, everyone. We live to fight another day. Okay, and she made that remark on her Blue Sky account after losing the vote. AOC had been the number two Democrat on the committee for the past 2 years under ranking member Representative Jamie Raskin. But here again, you know, Raskin on one side, AOC on the other. Either way, they're poison. Raskin is going to be moving over to the top Dem spot on the House Judiciary Committee. But many establishment Democrats, you know, like former House Speaker Pelosi, reportedly felt that Connolly was a far more seasoned investigator to help navigate the party through the incoming Trump administration. Oh, and there will be investigations, one after another, after another, after another. They will not let up. Connolly, who represents a Northern Virginia suburban district, has been a key Democrat on the oversight panel since joining the lower chamber back in 2009. So he's been around for a long time, and he's got the experience to reflect that. So if AOC had won the perch, she would have been the youngest Democrat to serve in the role. And I think her youth alone works against her. But then again, the fact that she's so shrill and so radical, that really does work against her. So for her, it's a lose-lose situation, really. And Connolly said after winning the slide, he says, "We know what the Republican playbook will be. We've seen it before. They've demonstrated that they're willing to traffic in debunked conspiracy theories and enable the worst abuses of the Trump administration. This will be trench warfare. Now is not the time to be timid. I promise the American people that our committee Democrats will be a beacon of truth and prepared from day one to counter Republican gaslighting." Yeah. Who has been gaslighting whom, Mr. Connolly? Ever since the mid-1990s, I have so enjoyed playing these cuts from the various Bob Rivers Twisted Christmas albums. I mean, this guy over the years took so many of these songs that have been ingrained in our Christmas culture and changed them up and made them downright hilarious. And in some cases, you never hear the song, the real song, the same way again, but I think that was his intention. Here we go with one that I have loved for years. This thing is so funny.
Said my nephew Tim to his Aunt Louise.
Didn't I get this last year?
Didn't I get this last year? Same thing every year, Aunt Louise.
Didn't I get this last year?
Didn't I get this last year?
Some socks, and some tiny BVDs. But I can't get them up past my knees. Could you return them, please, Aunt Louise? Open this one first, Uncle Bob. Didn't I get this last year?
Didn't I get this last year?
Try to act surprised, Uncle Bob. But I got this last year.
But he got that last year.
A tie, wider than a mile, with a pattern way out of style. With a pattern that's way out of style. Said my wife to our neighbors across the street. I think we got this last year.
I think we got this last year.
What a thoughtful gift, Peg and Al. I think we got this last year.
I think we got this last year.
A plant in a moldy mayonnaise jar. They must have dug one up from their yard. They must have dug one up from their yard. Said the dad to his kids on Christmas Day. Didn't I get this last year?
Didn't I get this last year?
This is just exactly what I want.
This is just exactly what I want.
Just as much as last year. Surprise, surprise, a coupon for some fries. That was really very thoughtful, you guys. Really very thoughtful, you guys. Didn't I get this last year? Didn't I get this last year?
Didn't I get this last year?
I'm sure I got this last year.
Didn't I get this last year?
Yeah, well, thanks. No, it's really very nice.
Didn't I get this last year?
Get on out there and make it a wonderful Wednesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.